Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever struggled to find inner peace? Tell me, do you know what the first strategy is that will infuse your day with inner peace? Have you ever wanted to know more about how to meditate? Yeah, I'd like to learn how to do that. Would you like to learn more about how chakras can relate to you? Can you imagine connecting chakras to your own energy system? Now, have you ever heard about a fabulous book called The Inner Peace Diet? That's P-E-A-C-E. Or better yet now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to attain inner peace? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories today. I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with wonderful information and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I am pleased to announce that our show is live on Talk for Media at iHeartRadio with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeart. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. This is her first visit on the show, and she is the author of the books, The Inner Peace Diet and Find Your Life Purpose Now, Recipes for Making Your Dreams Come True. She is a licensed clinical social worker, registered nurse, and registered yoga teacher who lives and works in Wilmington, Delaware. She is currently a doctoral candidate at the University of Pennsylvania and loves showing people how to relax and tune into their own deepest wisdom. When she is not teaching, counseling clients, or carting her family around town in her Honda, she is working on her dissertation and or burning dinners. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Eileen McCabe-Macher. Hi, Eileen. How are you doing?
Hi, January. I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I'm so happy to have you on the show. I must confess, as I said before we went on the air, you're beautiful, your picture is fabulous, and your Inner Peace Diet, what a killer title. How did you come up with that title?
Oh, thank you, January. You know, I think that inner peace is something that I know that I've personally have strived for, and that's something that I teach people how to do in every way. So the title really just came to me. The work came first, and then the title came just in the shower one day.
Okay. I probably thought it was going to come while you were busy burning dinner or doing carpool. How many kids do you have?
I just have one. My husband and I have an 8-year-old daughter, Vivian.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Now share with my listeners where your success story actually began. where you were born, your family life, and who your early mentors were.
Yeah, absolutely. I was born in Abington, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philadelphia. And I would have to say my earliest mentors, you know, January, I've been so lucky to have great mentors over the course of my entire life, starting from early childhood up until today. I think that having mentors and surrounding yourself with positive people is crucial at every point in the lifespan. But really, I was very lucky, blessed, and fortunate to have people in my family of origin to be my heroes and my mentors. I'd say my dad was huge, as well as my mom. You know, my dad was a Vietnam veteran and just a disabled veteran for most of his life at that, and was just very instrumental in me formulating the Inner Peace Diet, because Inner Peace was something that my dad really didn't have a lot of, based on his own childhood and experiences in Vietnam. And, you know, I watched him struggle to find ways to heal that throughout his life. And, you know, I think that my work in the past and today is part of that healing legacy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand what you're saying about your dad being a disabled veteran. My husband is also a Vietnam disabled veteran. And that is a difficult thing for a lot of people to adjust to when they come home from Vietnam. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are so many people that are still continuing to fight that war on a daily basis, even though they may have left that country a long time ago. And as you well know, you know, our country is at war now. So we have so many men and women that are facing that issue currently.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but luckily, there's a lot of great research that's going on, you know, for different modalities that can really help people heal from that type of trauma.
Yeah, and the unspoken issue is that all of the men who were in Vietnam, if they were there from a particular time, they all will be suffering from some form of Agent Orange. And a lot of people didn't talk about that for a long time, but this is a reality and this is a fact, and this is why there are so many veterans having a difficult time after Vietnam. Now, about you, were you an only child?
Yes, I was the only child of both of my parents. Actually, speaking about, you know, Vietnam, my dad, over the course of his life, had five different brain tumors, which we think was correlated to Vietnam. So my parents were actually advised not to have any more children after me because of my dad's medical condition and his brain tumors. So I was very fortunate to not to have to share any of my parents' paternal love when I grew up as an only child.
Well, that was lucky for you, but that's a sad situation, and it goes right back to the Agent Orange. We went to a reunion for my husband's battalion, and they had a session for the families, and they said, if your husband went there, it was in Vietnam, he will have some form of Agent Orange. And a lot of people tried to ignore it and pretend it wasn't going to happen, but now we see it happening all the time. Now, when you wrote your book, how long did it take you to write your book?
You know, I actually started writing the book in the year 2000. I started writing the book based on my knowledge of yoga. My first yoga teacher was my grandmother, my father's mother. She taught me yoga when I was, you know, 3 years old in the 1970s. My grandmother was one of the first yoga teachers and learned yoga here in the States in the 60s. So I was always just gathering different information, writing things about experiences that I had for my personal yoga practice, and then as a yoga teacher and as a therapist and working with different people. I actually worked with veterans at the VA hospital. So writing about different modalities and different strategies that I found helpful personally that worked well with clients that I had. And I started this little file, and I just wrote on the tab book. And, you know, just when I had time, I would file different things there, different creative writings, different things. And I guess it was the year 2007, I had the opportunity to connect with an acquisitions editor at Penguin. I was offered the opportunity to be a technical editor for a book on adoption, you know, read the book about adoption and is this something that happens from a social worker's perspective in adoption. Mm-hmm. And as a result, as we were communicating back and forth, I asked her, I said, you know, I have this book idea that I've been working on for a few years. And do you think this is something that's viable or that I could get published? And she's like, you know, send me over a book proposal. So I'm like, book proposal.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Exactly. I had no clue. So I literally went to the library in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, which is where my husband and I were living at the time, and took out a book from the library, which I highly recommend. It's called How to Write a Book Proposal by Michael Larson.
Okay.
Wrote a book proposal and sent it over to Michelle Wells, the editor at Penguin. And she came back to me, and, you know, within 2 weeks, things happened very quickly. We had an offer for them to publish the book. And then over the course of 6 months, we finished the book. So we had a nice starting foundation, but we actually had to, you know, weave and integrate everything into a book.
Okay. When you say we, it was your husband and yourself?
Yes, my husband and I wrote the book together. My husband is a professional chef, so he wrote nearly all of the recipes in the book. I wrote a few, but the vast majority are his.
Oh, fantastic. And I've looked at some of the recipes. They look fantastic. I'm so glad that you shared that your grandma was a mentor for you when you were growing up. And back then, a lot of people hadn't even heard of yoga, so she was certainly ahead of her time. And I'm glad that you also said that mentors are so important. We share that with our listeners all the time. So many people say, well, I can't afford a mentor. And Eileen and I are here to tell you that you can't afford not to get a mentor. And sometimes it doesn't really need to cost a lot of money. You can get a lot of mentoring from some wonderful books out there, of which Eileen's The Inner Peace is one of them. Okay, so then you wrote it in 6 months, and you know, interesting about the book proposal, I think sometimes that's harder than writing the book, don't you agree?
Absolutely, very challenging.
Yeah, well, you know, book proposals have to be short and sweet, and sometimes that's very, very difficult to do that. Now, let's talk a little bit about what kind of a strategy a person can do use to fill their day with inner peace.
Yeah, I think the simplest strategy of all really starts with our own breath, January, just paying attention to our own breath. And it's something that doesn't require you necessarily going out and buying anything, or it's something that, although, you know, we do recommend having a mentor naturally, it's something that you can do by yourself in just a few minutes a day. So even if you're, you know, like most of us, living a very fast-paced, busy kind of a lifestyle, you can just find 2 minutes just to sit down and pay attention to your own breath. One of my most favorite type of breathing exercises is a yogic breathing exercise called 2-to-1 breathing. So the goal with that breath is to make your exhalations twice as long as your inhalations. You're engaging the parasympathetic nervous system, slowing down the heart rate, slowing down respirations, really improving digestion, activating digestion. So, you know, it's a real simple way to do that experientially is just, you know, allow the tip of your tongue just to rest along the roof of your mouth. So inhaling through your nose and exhaling through your nose. So you may want to start inhaling to the count of 1-1000, 2-1000, and then exhaling to the count of 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, 4-1000.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the exhale is actually double the inhale, isn't it?
Exactly. That's the ratio. It's double.
Well, this is fascinating, and as we're speaking, I've been trying to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with the Inner Peace Diet. When we come back, I'm going to find out if this book was listed in the diet section or the motivation section. We'll be right back.
Do you desire more control over your money and financial matters? Would you like simple solutions to complex financial topics? Do you want more security in your financial future? If you answered yes to any of these questions, the book 101 Principles to Wealth is your answer. It's available now on Amazon.com. That's 101 Principles to Wealth by Charles Brokaw. Order today.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
I'm pleased to announce that next week, Tom and Jared, the authors of One Door Closes, will be on the show, and their special guest will be Sherry Payne, who was one of the lead singers with the Supremes from Motown. Also, Charles Brokaw will be back with us again next month. His interview is fascinating and informative. We're back now with Eileen McCabe. Now, did your book, where is it listed, in diet or motivation?
you could actually find it in both, January. It's primarily listed in diet, I sometimes struggle with, as I, my husband and I are currently revising and updating the book with the latest research and some new techniques and things. And I often struggle with the word diet because, lots of times people associate that as if like with some type of a fad. But the Inner Peace Diet as it is really a lifestyle plan and a way to live life every day, not just for, a short period.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been promoting this interview for dieters who are addicted. I think your Inner Peace Diet could actually solve a lot of their problems with compulsive dieting. Let's talk a little bit about meditating. And I know so many people say, I don't have the time, I'm too busy. What's your answer to that?
Well, I think that the first thing to do is to take a radically honest time log, create a radically honest time log where you're really just noting down what you're doing from the time that you wake up in the morning to the time that you go to bed at night. Sometimes, when I go through periods in my life where I feel like I'm just too busy, I don't have time for this and that, but I'd really like to do it, I'll do one of these time logs, and I find that there's these pockets of time that I may be spending cruising the internet or Facebook or maybe taking a telephone call from a friend and listening to that friend sort of complain for an hour, whereas I maybe really better serve them by being loving to them and just shortening the call. So doing all those kinds of things, really finding those pockets of time, and not in a judgmental way, but just saying, I do have some time. It only starts, it can start off with anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
Starting with those breathing exercises. A lot of times, sometimes when I work with beginning students, either in yoga class or in a therapy session, they'll say, I just don't like the breathing thing. Like, I don't get it. I feel like I'm doing it wrong. I feel like I do reverse breathing. So another alternative way to begin a meditation practice would be with candle gazing. So you're just simply lighting a candle, placing it at eye level, and just gazing at the candle, just fixing your attention and focus on it, starting out with 2 minutes and then just working your way up to five. Just gently letting go of thoughts. So it's really starting out small, taking those baby steps to make lasting changes and not judging yourself.
Yeah, right. That's very important. And who can't find 5 minutes a day? And it's something that you're doing for yourself. Now, my question for you is, I walk my dog every day. Would that be a good time to do these breathing exercises while I'm out walking?
Absolutely. I think that's a fabulous time. You're out in nature and you're already doing such a wonderful thing by getting yourself out and your dog out, walking meditation. So you may want to either focus on your breath or actually coordinate your breath with movement. So in your case, coordinate your breath with your footsteps, just gently letting go of any thoughts or just, it's impossible to stop thought, although some people can do it for short time, but you're just not... You're just not engaging the thought.
Well, Eileen, I love your answer because so many people, when you say meditate, they think they have to go in a quiet room, isolate themselves, and have solitude. And I'm sure that would work very well. However, most people are out walking and doing things. So it's wonderful to know that you can incorporate the breathing into your active life. Now, could you share with us a little bit about chakras and how they relate to our inner peace?
Absolutely, yes. Chakras are vortexes of energy that are really closely related to the study of yoga. And these energy vortexes or centers run along our spine. So they start at the base of our spine, really deep in our pelvis, and then they're stacking one on top of the other vertically up through the crown of our head. In the ancient study of yoga, there are seven main chakras or energy vortexes, and that's, you know, how we process energy. We know it in psychology, like there's that saying that our issues are in our tissues. So any experience that we have is felt in the body. You know, our body remembers things that even our mind doesn't consciously remember. The chakras, you know, they're not something that we can necessarily see on diagnostic imaging, you know, for example, like an MRA. MRI or a CT scan. Although it's interesting, January, I've read some research coming out of the HeartMath Institute, you know, where we can really measure the heart, measure emotions from the heart, and, you know, postulating that perhaps we're going to be able to measure other chakra centers as technology moves along as well. So there is exciting research that's just emerging in that area.
Well, that's fascinating. I've heard about chakras before, but so many people, I'm glad you're sharing that. It's not something you can go get on an MRI.
Right. Right.
Now, how can our listeners connect their chakras, their seven chakras, and tell us what those seven are, and how can you connect that to your own energy system?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. You know, there are seven major chakras, and the first one is the root chakra, and that sits in the base of your spine, the base of your pelvis. And that really corresponds to, like, basic survival type of needs. So it really corresponds traditionally with the color red. So a great way to begin to experience your own root chakra is to really just envision the color red. Just spinning in a clockwise wheel, just at the root of your pelvis.
Okay.
So that's the way you can really feel into that, is through that visualization using color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, according to ancient philosophy, ancient wisdom, it correlates with basic survival type of needs like food, shelter, and water. So if people are struggling with issues around that, having severe financial needs, just really being in that survival type of mode, that's said to be a root chakra issue and can really be helped by doing grounding type of exercises like meditation, like brisk walking, stomping, running if your knees can tolerate it, those kinds of activities.
Okay, and what's the second chakra?
The second chakra is the sacral chakra. In women, that's located in the uterus, and in men, it's in the spleen. And that's represented by the color orange, and it really represents a person's ability to be able to create and seek pleasure. So that's something that can be really stimulated by being in water. This chakra is stimulated by water, so doing a meditation while in the bathtub or in water is sometimes a really good way to feel your way into this chakra, this energy center. Also, after meditating, doing a journaling exercises. So, you know, maybe doing some free writing or automatic writing, or any type of creative activity is really correlated to this center. So for some people, that may be sewing or cooking, doing painting, other artwork.
Artistic, creative things. And what is the number three?
The third chakra is the solar plexus chakra, and that's really associated with the concepts of identity, self-esteem, and power. And on the physical body, that's located near your lower ribs, and it's represented by the color yellow.
Yellow.
So on the level of the physical body, there's lots of great yogic exercises, you know, that we think of like core training type of exercises that can really activate this center and make you feel more powerful. You know, being able to use your honest, authentic power to be able to create the life that you want. It's also great, you know, to visualize the color yellow at this center, you know, by focusing your attention on the lower ribs on that area.
Mm-hmm. And number four?
Number four is the heart chakra. It's associated with the color green, and it's, you know, located exactly where it says, right at the heart center. You know, it's associated with themes of love, you know, a person's ability to be able to give and receive love and feel compassion for other people and also for oneself.
Right.
So really on the physical body, you know, to stimulate that, we would want to do exercises related to the arms and sternum, thoracic cavity. Mm-hmm. In terms of meditation, a great meditation that I'll do if I really want to feel, you know, some more heart opening is I may visualize someone that I love dearly and unconditionally, you know, like my mother, my daughter, my husband, and just imagine love pouring out from my heart center directly to them. And, you know, also this can be a great exercise to do if you maybe have a really difficult relationship with someone where you're, for whatever reason, you're not able to connect with them on the physical level in person. Maybe they've crossed over, they're deceased. You're just sending your energy from your heart center, just imagining them in front of you and just projecting that love to their heart center. It can be healing and powerful.
That's so beautiful. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Eileen McCabe, we're going to talk about chakra 5, 6, and 7. We'll be right back.
Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with our guest, Eileen McCabe. I wanted to share with everyone that Dale Bruner did a fabulous interview this week that is now posted at iHeartRadio, and it was a powerful